Let's find our places. Amen. Let's find our places. Amen. Let's stand together as we read the scripture in unison. Amen. Amen. We're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Let's get the ushers to move all those tarrying to their places. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's read in unison together from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Amen. We are looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 today, and in the bulletin is an outline that will go along with the message and the PowerPoint, if you would find that helpful. I invite you to follow along with that. It is good to be here with you all and good to bring the Word. I've appreciated over these past weeks, Christoph Koning has brought the Word to us. And next Sunday, Art and Charlene Lohman and their family they're actually coming into town tomorrow, and Art is going to be bringing the Word next Sunday. Our family, we're heading down to Brenda's parents in Virginia tomorrow. We'll be gone for the week, but we'll be back next weekend. And so, yes, we will miss the famous 4-H Fair chicken dinner on Wednesday night. It hurts my heart. There is a tradition here in Isle Alliance Church for Isle Alliance folks to gather on Wednesday evening for that chicken dinner. And so I know there'll be many that are going to be. How many are going to be up there? How many are planning to be up there? Look at that. Almost the whole congregation. We might as well have church up there. Okay, Christoph, can you preach up there? Thank you. Thank you. I believe Dave McGlashan and his band, his father and brother, will be providing some music Wednesday evening. And maybe you could talk him into doing a couple hymns, something like that. We want to move into the message this morning. We're looking at the title of the message is Christ's Reps. Christ's Reps. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come now to your word and we thank you for speaking to us, Lord, through your word. That is how you speak to us primarily. And your Holy Spirit confirms the truth of your word to us. And we ask indeed that he will open our hearts. Open our minds. Give us revelation and understanding as we look into your word today. Father, touch our hearts. Speak to us. May we have ears to hear and hearts to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. It was the summer of 1981. I had finished my first year at Real College. I'd done a couple of years at the county college, like many of you are doing, in preparation for transferring. I transferred to Eastern Nazarene College, and after the first year at college, I came back home for the summer, and I looked for a summer job. And so I looked in the paper, and I answered an ad in the paper for a company that was looking for reps. And so they required that you go to an orientation meeting to be a rep, to find out about being a rep for the company. So I went to this orientation meeting, and there was a room filled with perhaps 12 to 15 people. And there was a lady who headed up the meeting, and interestingly, she was dressed in military fatigues. Obviously, she had some affiliation, I believe, either with the Navy or the Army. Anyway, she was heading up this meeting. This was her own personal process with the company. Well, this lady took a long time in telling us and explaining to us how important it was for us, that the way that we represent the company. She went to great lengths. The only problem was that none of us knew what the responsibilities were actually, you know, for the job. And several, you know, would ask from time to time, well, what are the actual job responsibilities? And she would kind of put us off and say, well, I'll get to that. Well, finally, after a very long time of talking about what it meant to be a rep for this company, she finally told us what the job was. She said, our job was to go and sell cutlery door to door. And for those of you who don't know what cutlery is, it's basically knives, fancy knives. And I was like, oh, isn't that exciting? And, you know, it was kind of interesting when she said that. Almost everybody got up and left. It was like a mass exodus out the door. And I stood there and debated whether I would consider it anymore. And I actually did talk to her some more, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to go door-to-door selling cutlery. That's just not going to work. So I left, too. She didn't have anybody left. Well, you know, that was a learning experience for me, that you want to know what is the job responsibility before you become a rep. You want to know. Before you can make a decision about becoming a rep for a company, you want to know, what is the job? What does it entail? What are you asking me to represent you in? Well, you know, Jesus does not play any games like this. As we read the Word, we see that we are called to be His reps, we are called to be His ambassadors, and our job is to share the message that He has, the message of reconciliation. That message is His gospel. The message of reconciliation is the good news of the love and the forgiveness that He offers to all people. As we read just a moment ago in verse 20, it says, it's as though God is making His appeal through you, and through me, if we are His reps. And so, the main point I would say this way is that now that we are reconciled, or even if we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, we are called to be Christ's reps, His ambassadors. And we represent Him to everyone around us. If we're His ambassadors, we represent Him to everyone around us. Now, what does this word representative or ambassador mean? What does the word ambassador mean? That's the word that the Scripture uses here. It says that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. What is an ambassador? Well, an ambassador, as we understand it in the English language, is one who acts as a representative for another, right? An ambassador represents. We have ambassadors for our country. And in the embassies that are in other countries, we have a ambassador who represents our country, the United States, in that country, at the embassy. They represent our country. And so, the point that Paul is making about us as Christians, as those reconciled to God, is that we are Christ's representatives, His ambassadors. We are. We represent Jesus Christ in this world today. We are His ambassadors. In other words, you don't have a choice about it. There is not a choice if you are reconciled to God and if you are a Christian. There is not a choice of whether you will represent Jesus Christ or not. You do. You are an ambassador. You are representative of Him. We don't have a choice. In this message, therefore, I am calling us to evaluate how we are representing Him. And are we sharing His message that we have been called to share? Are we following and fulfilling what He has called us to do? Sharing the message of reconciliation. And are we doing it in a way that is worthy of Him, that honors Him? See, because you can do it in ways that don't honor Him. You can do it in ways that don't represent Him very well, can't we? You can do it in ways that turn people off. You see, because the message and the messenger have to line up. There can't be any incongruity. They both have to be the same. The message and the messenger has to be the same. Now, as we break this down, let me talk for a moment in these terms as a representative. We know that there's an eligibility to be a representative. Well, what is the eligibility for us in order to be Christ's representative? Just like the cutlery lady, you know, it was kind of funny at the beginning when we all got there. She said, well, you know, we have to make sure that you're eligible to be the company's rep. I said, okay, how do we do that? She says, well, you need to come up here and fill out this little application and we'll see if you're eligible. So I went up and I filled out the application and she says, oh, and you need to pay a $15 registration for the orientation meeting. So I put down the $15. She said, you're eligible. That was easy. If you're living and breathing, you got $15, you're eligible. Well, the eligibility that Christ has for us to be His ambassadors is a little more than that. And it's this, that if we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, then we are new creations through the indwelling Spirit. The old is gone, and He's making us new. That is the eligibility. That we know Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to God through Christ, and He's made us into new creations through the indwelling Spirit. The old is gone, and He is making us new. We read that in verse 17, which is a very famous verse, one that we should all know by memory. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old King James said a new creature. Makes you sound a little bit weird if you say, oh, I'm a new creature. What kind of old creature were you? Some of us were some pretty old, sinful creatures. But we're a new creation in Christ. He says, the old is gone, the new has come. And so what makes us eligible is being reconciled to God by putting our faith, our trust, in Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at this word reconcile for a minute. It's used a number of times here in the Scripture. The word reconcile means to change one from an enemy into a friend. And so if you and I were to be reconciled, then actually, Brother Greg, if you don't mind, I'll use you as an example. Thank you very much. Several months ago, Greg was upset with me, and we were at odds. We were at enmity. And that Sunday, Greg came to church, and he walked up. Many of you were here that Sunday. He walked up to hug me and embrace me, and I, of course, embraced him back. So we were at odds at one point, but we changed, and we became reconciled to one another. We removed the issue, the problem that was there. Well, so it is with God. He changes us. He reconciles us, meaning He changes us from one who was once an enemy into one who is now a friend. Now, that's the English word. That's the English understanding. Watch this. The original meaning of the word in the Greek, in the original language, is this. It means to exchange a coin with an equivalent one. To exchange a coin with an equivalent one. In other words, it's like if I exchange a drachma for a denarius. Y'all got that one, right? Just having fun. But let me do it this way. It's like exchanging a Susan B. Anthony dollar coin with an Eisenhower dollar coin. They're equivalent. One is a dollar with maybe a different name, slightly different look, slightly different face on it, with another coin that is equivalent. It's worth a dollar. A different name on it, different face on it. They're equivalent. It means to exchange one coin with an equivalent one. Well, Christ was the equivalent one to us. He went to the cross. He took the punishment. He died. He suffered death instead of you and me. Christ was the equivalent one. He took our punishment, what we deserved. And as it says here in verse 21, God made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's one way Paul says it. All this is from God, he says, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Does that make sense? Christ was the sin equivalent for you and for me. We have a choice. We can stand before God and be judged on our own merits and our own sins. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be judged on my own sins, because I know my merits are not nearly enough. In fact, it's impossible to outweigh the sin with good. Some people try to do that kind of little game there. And the Scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so Jesus was our sin equivalent in the sense that He took the punishment, the judgment, the justice of our sin upon Himself. And so He becomes my sin equivalent, and God reconciles us to Himself when we put our faith and our trust in Christ. The result then of being reconciled to God through Christ is that we become a new creature, a new creation. Verse 17, the old is gone, the new has come. And I know when I say that, some of you are sitting there and you're like, oof, maybe some of the old is gone, but it doesn't seem like all of it is. But understand what Paul is saying here. He says, the old is gone, the new has come. It's really present perfect, meaning it's come and it's coming, and it continues to come, and it will continue to come in your life and in my life until we go either to die and meet Jesus or He comes again. Can you say amen? He is changing us from this point where we become new, and He is then making us new. On and on again. That's transformation. That is how God works in us. Well, there's really two aspects to this new creation. I could call the first one or A. The penalty of sin is gone. The way He makes us a new creation is this. Christ took the penalty of our sin. And so the penalty for our sin is gone. The penalty of death and separation from God. That penalty is gone. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you embrace Him in your life, the Holy Spirit comes in and He applies the blood of Christ to your heart, and you are forgiven. Your sins are atoned for or covered over. That's why we talk about the blood of Christ who atones for us, covers our sins. So that's the first thing. The penalty of sin is done away with. Secondly, the power of sin is broken. Christ not only suffered and died, but God raised Him from the dead, breaking the power of death, breaking the hold, any hold that Satan thought he had on him, and he overcame by the power of God. When you come to Christ and you put your faith in Him, the Holy Spirit applies the nature or the mind of Christ to you and to me. And He gives us a new nature. He gives us a new mind so that now we can begin to follow and obey Christ because we want to. We want to. We were having this discussion about what it means to follow the Lord and what it means to obey His commands. And the bottom line is this, is that when you come to Christ and He gives you a new nature by the indwelling Holy Spirit, you want to follow Him. You want to obey Him. Now, we don't do it perfectly, and we still sin and we still fail, and that's why He's given us the provision of confession and repentance and cleansing. And I would venture to say to you this morning, if you're sitting here and you're examining your own heart and you say, you know, in the main, I really don't desire to follow God. In the main, I really don't desire to follow His commands. In fact, I really have very little interest in following God. I'm here to kind of fulfill my spiritual duty. Show up at church and everybody thinks I'm a good guy. Good gal. If that's you this morning, I would challenge you and ask you this question. Are you truly reconciled to God through Christ? Have you come to that saving faith in Christ? Have you put your faith in Him so that God can begin that new creation work in you? Because, you see, if you don't have any desire, it tells me one thing. As Jesus said, a good tree will bring forth good fruit, but a bad tree brings forth only bad fruit. It tells me there's an indication that you may not have received Christ as your Savior. Boy, it got awful quiet in here. Are you reconciled to God through Christ? You see, there's a spiritual reality that happens when you come and you put your faith in Christ. When you bow the knee to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve punishment. I know that I deserve separation from You. And I ask You, because of Your sacrifice on my behalf, to forgive me, and I receive You as my Savior. There is a spiritual reality that happens in your life. It doesn't come about by signing a card. It doesn't come about by joining a church and membership, shaking the preacher's hands. It doesn't even come about by baptism. I know some of you all were raised in an environment and in a church background where you baptize babies or you baptize people because they go through a certain course. Those things are fine, except if there's no spiritual reality in the person, they're meaningless. They're empty rituals. There's only one thing that brings that transformation. It is a new creation by the Holy Spirit of God. He comes into our life. He fills us with power and forgiveness and love so that we can indeed follow Him. And so are you reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? And that whole process in our lives is called sanctification. It's a big fancy word. It simply means two things. It means I'm being set apart for God's use and I'm being made holy. Sanctification. We'll talk about that a little bit, just a bit more. So there's a spiritual reality that has to be there if you have come to Christ and have been reconciled to God. If you have been once His enemy and now you are made His friend, there's a spiritual reality there. Now here's something that I want to mention. In a moment, we're going to talk about being Christ's ambassadors. If you are not reconciled to God, you will have no spiritual reality with which to bear witness to those who don't know Christ. There's no spiritual reality there. You have to have a spiritual reality to be His witnesses. How can you be a witness of that which you have not experienced in your life? Ashley shared an illustration this morning about a big scholar who spoke one time in a chapel service. I believe it was at Chicago Divinity School, is that correct? Paul Tillich, by the way, he was a great scholar, but did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and actually argued against it. And he gave a sermon, a 2.5-hour sermon lecture to basically disprove the resurrection of Christ, that it didn't happen. And therefore, if it didn't happen, there's really no spiritual reality to anyone's faith. And therefore, it's just all in your head. And an old country preacher stood up and he chomped on an apple and he said, Sir, can you tell me whether this apple is sweet and juicy or not? And Paul Tillich said, Well, sir, there's no way I could tell that because I haven't experienced eating that apple that you have in your hand. And the old preacher said, Yes, sir, that's right. And therefore, you won't be able to talk about my Jesus because you've never experienced my Jesus. You've got to experience Jesus as a reality. If you can come to church and sit here week after week and not be moved in your heart, have no transformation of Christ affecting your life in whatever it is, you have to ask yourself, am I reconciled to God through Christ? Have you responded to Christ's call from being an enemy of God to becoming a friend of God by putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone? Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says this. We didn't read it together, but it says this. As God's fellow workers, Paul is speaking to them now from his heart. He says, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. In other words, don't pretend to receive it if it's going to have any effect in your life. Don't receive it in vain. For God says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you've not put your faith in Christ, if you're here today and you know you've not been reconciled to Him, then today is the day of salvation for you. Hear His voice and respond to Him and bow your knee to Christ and embrace Him in your life. Can you say amen? We need to come to Christ. We must come to Christ. There is no other way that we can know Christ except by faith and bowing the knee. The message and the messenger has to be the same. And Christian, my challenge to you this morning before we move on is this. Are you walking worthy of His calling to be His ambassador? Are you walking worthy in a way that displays Christ in your life? 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, anyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. There can't be any disconnect. There has to be a change. There has to be a transformation. You see, the way that we react, the way that we respond, the way that we live our lives, the way that we spend our time, all these things represent Christ. Oh, Pastor, I'm not sure if I like that too much. You know what? This is not my message. This is Christ's message. He calls us to walk worthy because we represent Him. The way that we interact with people, the way that we speak, the way that we dress, the way that we live our lives before them speaks either of Jesus Christ in our lives, that He is Lord of our lives and that we're living for Him, or it will speak something else. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Well, how do we do that in a practical way? How do we do that? I remember one time after a sermon, someone came to me afterwards and they said, well, Pastor, I appreciate your message. It was a good message. He said, but you know, sometimes I think we don't tell people in practical ways how we are to live the Christian life, how we are to live a spirit-filled life. And you know, I always listen to input and try to hear what might be true in that. And on the one hand, I think, you know, sometimes we make this thing, the Christian life, too difficult. We really try to make it way too difficult. It's like, you know what? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these things, these two things, on this hang all the law and the prophets. You know, I'm a simple guy, but that kind of sounds pretty simple to me, doesn't it? So sometimes I think we make it a little too difficult. On the other hand, there are calls in Scriptures of how we are to deal with our wickedness. We know that even though Christ gives us a new nature, that sin remains. Sin remains in our nature. And how do we deal with that? Well, Romans 1 and 2. You see, Paul calls us at Romans chapter 12. He's spent the first 11 chapters talking about the salvation of God that He's provided for us in Christ. And then Romans 12, he says this, in view of God's mercy to you, therefore, in view of this mercy, because of what He's done, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, your spiritual worship, and do not be conformed to this world's pattern, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, that means every day I need to be in the Word. I need to lay my life down before the Lord. I was writing some of these things down last evening, and I said, you know what, Lord? I need to practice what I preach. And so early this morning, I just knelt before the comfort chair this morning in the living room, and I just said, Lord, in view of the great mercy You've given to me in Christ, I offer myself as a living sacrifice to You. I just offer my life to You, Lord. But you know, that can't just happen one day a week. That's got to happen every day. I've got to offer myself to God every day as a living sacrifice. And I cannot be conformed to this world's pattern anymore. I must be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit fills us with more and more power to live a holy life. He deals with those issues. Isn't it funny? Sometimes you're in the midst of prayer, maybe of just dedication and a prayer of coming close to the Lord, and all of a sudden, boom, something comes up right in the middle of it that you're like, ooh, why did that come up? You know, oh, Lord, why are You bringing that habit up? Why are You bringing that incident up? Well, there's a reason. Usually it's something we need to deal with. If we're offering ourselves to Him, there's something usually He deals with. Am I the only one that experiences that? We all do, don't we? Right in the midst of prayer, He brings it up and He shows us. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Set your hearts on things above. There's an action that must come in our lives. And you see, when we set our mind on the things above, the Holy Spirit continues to transform our mind more and more and more. The mind of Christ is developing in us as we take the Word of Christ and internalize it. So you can't read the Bible like a novel. You know, you need to read a little section, just like we've done this morning, and say, Lord, how does this apply to me? What are you wanting to speak to me about in this? What principle is there for me to obey? What is there something that I need to turn away from? What are you calling me to do in my life, Lord? Or what are you calling me to rest in? Whatever it may be. Through my responsibilities through our district, I work with some young men who are in the process of ordination. And this week I met with one of them, and we were talking about his preparations for ordination. We went through a number of questions that he's going to have to answer before the great convening council. And I was once on that council, but I've gone off it. I've rotated off of it this year. And we're talking about this area of sanctification, this area of yielding ourselves to God. And as we discussed it, he said this. He said, you know, I thought that God sanctified us. I thought that, you know, God, through Christ, sanctified us, set us apart. I said, yes, that is true. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, to those in Corinth who are called, who are sanctified. But we know from reading the book of Corinthians, they sure weren't leading a sanctified life, were they? I mean, there was sin, all kinds of sin in their lives. Immorality, bickering, schisms, fighting. They were actually misusing the Lord's Supper. They were turning it into opportunities to get drunk. I mean, how can you say these guys are sanctified, Lord, when they're just full of sin? Well, it's the same way that He calls us sanctified, and we're full of sin sometimes. We are sanctified by the Lord. He sets us apart for His use, His holy use. But guess what? We have to set ourselves apart as well. We have to sanctify ourselves. We have to say, Lord, I am Yours. I'm set apart for You, and I set myself apart for You as well. I yield myself to You. And you see, when we do this ongoingly, He more and more makes us new, transforms us. And this is what makes us eligible and effective ambassadors, representatives for Christ. Amen? This is the eligibility that we have come to Christ, we've been reconciled, we're no longer enemies but friends of God, and we are yielding ourselves, walking worthy of His calling. Number two, as Jesus has called us to be His representatives, and He's committed the message of reconciliation to us to appeal to the unsaved all around us. This is our task. This is our job description. This is our calling. Again, we read verses 18 and 20. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. Watch this. As though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. I want you to think about this for a minute. Because I don't know about you, but this blows my mind. That God has taken His precious message, the message of His Son, the Son whom He loves, and He has entrusted it to rascals like you and me. That just blows my mind. And guess what? God doesn't have plan B. This is His plan, this is His only plan, that we share the good news, the message of Christ, to all those around us that don't know Him. I know, it's like mind-blowing. And we must embrace that. We must embrace it. This is our job. This is our task. Last week, several of us adults got to join in with many of our youth, and we went off to World Changers down in Roanoke. I'm telling you, it was an awesome week. Everybody give a woo-hoo. Woo-hoo! Yeah. I wish you all could have been there with me, with us. And just to see, you know, adults, put them aside for a minute, just to see these young people. You know, there were over 300 all told. We had 26 from our church, plus 7 adults, something like that. And, you know, it was just awesome to see these young people stepping out of their comfort zone. I mean, for some of this is the first time they've ever, you know, shared. Some of them went on prayer walks. They gave out some literature. They talked to people. This, for some of you, as adults, you've never even done that. Right? And to see them step out of their comfort zone. And I know at least one young lady in our group saw a young boy come to Christ right there, right in their midst. Is that miraculous or what? And for them to be stepping out and stepping up to share their faith. Ah, it's awesome. And they see, this is what Christ is calling all of us to. Not just our young people, not just the preacher, not just Ashley, or any of the leaders in the church. He's called all of us to represent Him, to be His ambassadors. Why? Because you see, you know, if you're a school teacher or you're a student, you're in the school. I can't get in the school. They take one look at me and they'll lock the door. But you're in the school, or you're in the workplace, you're in the office, you're out on the jobs, and you're to be Christ's ambassador right there where you're at. That's His process and that's His plan and path for us. God is calling us and pushing us to be out of our comfort zone, to take this step of faith. Christ is calling us to be bold, bold as lions. He's calling us, like He called His disciples, be wise as serpents, but innocent as doves. As a dove. I know we have to be respectful and we have to be winsome. Yes, but we have to be bold. I had the personal opportunity to share with a gentleman named Jack. And the first time Jack came walking up the road past our site, you know, I could tell that Jack was a kind of a gruff, rough guy. You know, and the first time he saw me come, and he kind of moved from the front of the road back towards the back. You know, he kind of walked away from me. He really didn't want to talk to me. Well, I said, you know what? I may not get many other opportunities, and so I pursued him. I went right after him like this. And he kind of kept walking away. I kind of walked with him for a couple of minutes and just introduced ourselves and said why we were there. And he did pause for a minute, and he said, well, you know, I'm kind of glad you all are here. He said, it's, you know, need some good positive stuff in this neighborhood. He said, this is a bad neighborhood. He said, just about a month ago, he said, a guy was shot and murdered right in my driveway. Whoa. He said, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, gang activity and a lot of drugs going on in this area. He said, yeah, it's good that you're here. You're doing good work. And he went off. And I thought, well, you know, Lord, I didn't really get any chance to share with him, but, you know, thanks for letting me at least interact with him a little bit. Well, guess what? The next morning, there comes Jack walking down the street again. And he saw me. And I was like a little bit busy, so I kind of started walking toward the fence, and he kind of went to the other side of the road again, and he kind of hurried up and he went on by, and I couldn't get to him, you know. I guess he was trying to ignore me. That Jesus freak fanatic. Stay away from me. Well, a few minutes later, here comes Jack walking back. And I said, Lord, I just would really like an opportunity. And I put that down on my prayer request for one of you, pray for that. That I would have an opportunity to do. Because, you know, as a preacher, I don't always get many opportunities to interact with people. A lot of people find out I'm a preacher and the wall goes up. You know, they, oh, preacher, oh, I'm sorry, man. What did I say? You know. And if you know I'm not like that. But here comes Jack walking back, and this time he's kind of on this side of the road. And so I walk to the fence. There's a fence in the yard. And I just kind of approach him. And he comes over and he starts talking with me. And wow, what a life. What a life. Just one incident. I'll give you two incidences. Number one, Jack, about a year ago, was electrocuted with 220 voltage while he was working on a piece of equipment, and he tore a muscle in his heart. And they had to work on him. They thought they'd lost him. They had to work on him in the hospital, paramedics. But he survived. Well, of course, that gave me a great opening to talk with him. I said, well, you know, that is unbelievable, man. You've really gone through something. I said, let me ask you a question. If you had died and you stood before God, you know, would God have let you into heaven? And, of course, that gave me the opportunity then. I used the way of the Master with him and talked to him about that. And as we were going through it, I asked him the question. I said, Jack, and I'll tell you what, my heart was beating. My mouth was dry like it is now. And I was like, Lord, you know, I'm a little bit nervous about this, but I'm going to do it. And I just asked him the question, Jack, have you ever personally asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins. You know what he said? He said, yes, I have. I was like, whoo, amen. Now, you know, I rejoice because he knows the Lord. Here's what he told me. He said he'd been in the Navy, served on a submarine like Brother Mike. And he said they were going to a depth one day. It took them 2 hours to go to the depth of the bottom of the sea. He said it was minus 10 there at the bottom of the sea. And he said it was so cold and the pressure was so great, he said all the valves in the submarine froze. And he said for the first time in his life, this is many, many years ago, he said he cried out to God because he grew up in the church, he knew all about preachers and the preaching of the word, and he cried out to God and he said, God, if you'll forgive me and keep me as yours, he said, I'll try to follow you in my life. Well, he explained to me afterwards, he says, I know because the preacher told me you can't just come to Jesus one day and say that and, you know, then move on in your life. He said, you've got to give your life and live for Jesus every day from there on. And I said, amen. And we had a wonderful opportunity. But you know what? You can have the same kinds of opportunities as his ambassadors if you'll just be bold. Thank you, brother. If you'll just be bold, if you'll step out and say, Lord, I'm scared to death. And I don't know what I'm going to say, but Jesus, you said your Spirit will give me the words to speak when the time comes, and I'm just going to do it. And will you mess up? Yeah, you probably will. Like I've messed up hundreds of times. But if you'll keep at it, and you'll be bold, God will use you as His ambassador. It's as though God was making His appeal through you. Whenever you speak and whatever you share, He'll make His appeal through you. Notice Paul's language as we wrap up here. Verse 20. We implore you. Paul gets past all of the magnificence of God's salvation and he goes right to the heart and he says, we implore you, be reconciled to God. On Christ's behalf, we implore you, be reconciled to God. Folks, I'm here today and I speak in that same language to you if you don't know Christ. I implore you, put your faith in Christ. Allow Him to move you from being an enemy to a friend by the reconciliation He has done through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then I charge you and I call you folks. We have to become more and more serious about this. Sold out. Verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us that we would be bold as lions and implore people, appeal to them. That's why we have brought the Way of the Master class, and we'll bring it again, to help you, to give you the tools, to teach you how to walk through this process. I'm asking you to make a renewed commitment to sharing the message of reconciliation through faith in Christ. I want to end with this parable that Jesus gave from Luke chapter 14. It's a powerful scripture of how God feels, how strongly He feels about this very issue. Luke 14, verses 16 through 24. John Rich is going to read that for us.
Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out and quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.
In this parable, Jesus is referring to the great banquet feast that God has invited everybody to. And I know that those that first refused were those unbelieving Jewish people that refused to embrace Jesus Christ. But there were many that embraced Him. And so He says, go out and invite the poor, the blind, the lame. And that is those people of that day that God reached out to. First He reached out to the Samaritans through Christ, and then He reached out to the Gentiles. And then He said, and there's still more room, and that refers to you and to me. Amen? Can you say hallelujah that there's room at the banquet for you and for me? But guess what? There's still room. There's more room. And Jesus said, the master says to his servant, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Do all that you can to make them come in. I know if people make an excuse, you can't help that. You can't change it. Someone says, you know, I just got married. I can't think about this right now. You can't do anything about that. That's the Holy Spirit's work. But are we doing our part? Are we going out and compelling them, appealing to them to come in? God is seeking and saving the lost. He wants them found. Are we going to step up and step out of our comfort zone and do our part? We're going to be His reps, His ambassadors. Let's pray. Father God, what an honor, what a privilege we have in that You've allowed us, called us to be Your servants, Your representatives, Your ambassadors for Christ. Lord, we in ourselves, Lord, we can say with Moses that we are thick of tongue and slow of lips. And Lord, we don't do a very good job at it. But Lord, we're trusting that You will speak through us. You will make Your appeal through us as we step out. Lord, I pray for every one of us here that as we interact with the world around us on our jobs, in our recreation time, friends, neighbors, wherever it may be, family members, Lord, that You will remind us that we are Your ambassadors and You want to make an appeal through us. And then, Lord, I pray for those that are here today that don't know You. They have not been reconciled to God through Christ. They have not embraced You, Lord Jesus. If you're here today and that is you, and you know God is speaking to you because perhaps your heart is beating fast and you've got a feeling in your stomach that God is calling your name, calling you to be saved this day, I want to give you an opportunity. We're all going to pray together. We're not trying to embarrass anyone, but we're going to pray a prayer, and I invite you to pray this out of your heart. Invite Jesus Christ to come into your life. Give your life to Him. Let's all repeat this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for loving me. Thank You for sending Jesus to reconcile me to You. I embrace You, Lord Jesus Christ. I believe You died and rose again for my sins. And I ask You to forgive me, cleanse me, and make me new. And I'll follow You all of my life. I'll be Your ambassador. Use me to touch people's lives. In Your name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Amen. Let's stand as we receive the benediction. We're going to pray for Mike Windsor and anoint him for his preparation for a surgery. If any of you have a need for prayer, or if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you'd like to speak with us, and you'd like us to pray with you and encourage you, we'd love to talk with you. Our elders will be up front and one of our deaconesses. Please don't leave without having your prayer needs met this morning. Let's pray. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. May we walk this week and be His ambassadors. Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Take time to greet each other before you leave. God bless you.